Blog Talk Radio. Father of Israel, which made us the
Father, we bless your name.
Sing to you and to sing about you.
We praise your name this evening, Lord.
Not just with our lips.
We honor your name this evening, Lord. And glorify your name this evening, Lord. We magnify your name this evening, Lord. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father God, we thank you for another Tuesday evening. We thank you, Lord, another opportunity for your Holy Spirit to reveal you to us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity for your word to open up itself to us, to burst forth in our hearts. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to learn more of thee. Hallelujah. As we continue standing on your word, O God, every man, woman, boy, and girl, they'll be under the sound of our voices, O God. Meet every need in abundance, hallelujah, and then give them super abundantly above. Hallelujah, Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done already, what you're going to do, what you're doing right now. Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. We curse you from the root and command you to rebound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest of the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, and 100-fold return in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless God.
Hallelujah. We have been,
hallelujah. We thank those who tuned in tonight. This is the Bible study of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been studying, hallelujah, the types of prayer, the nine types of prayer that we have been discussing: prayer petition or faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of supplication, prayer of dedication or consecration, prayer of praise, worship, and thanksgiving, casting your cares upon the Lord prayer, hallelujah, thank you, united on corporate prayer, a prayer of intercession, and, of course, the praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And tonight we'll be discussing, as far as God will allow us to go tonight, the prayer of unified prayer or corporate prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer of intercession. And we'll go as far as the time will allow us to go today. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. We thank God for Neil Reyes, a mighty teacher of the Most High God. We thank God. Without further ado, we're going to go through the audio. After the audio, we'll have a 5-minute discussion, questions and answers. When that 5 minutes is up over, we will go into another audio. Pastor Peaches, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you can be our timekeeper again. Thank God for your excellent timekeeping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, right now.
Today's topic that we're going to be covering is called United Prayer. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called United Prayer. If you've been with us over the last week or two, we've been covering the different types of prayer that are described in the Bible. The reason why we're doing this is when I was before the Lord in prayer, he had showed me that what he wanted me to teach next was on the different types of prayer. One of the things we've been repeatedly saying throughout this series is that sometimes when people do not have their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying about the right thing or they're not praying in the right way. Now, that's not always necessarily the case. Obviously, whenever you pray for something, there are rules around prayer, and that's what these rules are based on that we're covering. But anytime someone prays, they must also believe in faith, and they must remain in faith by staying thankful to God that whatever they prayed about will come to fruition. Sometimes when people don't receive a prayer answered, sometimes it's because the Bible tells us it simply doesn't line up in accordance with God's will. You know, other times when they pray and they're not getting their things answered, it's because maybe they're praying, but they're not operating or staying in faith to bring that thing to pass. Well, today we're going to continue our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer that we're covering is called United Prayer. Now, when people talk about United Prayer, sometimes within the body of Christ or within the church, this is also referred to as corporate prayer. This is the type of prayer that it is. United prayer or corporate prayer is when a group of people come together about a common goal that they're believing for, and they stand in prayer and agreement that it's going to come to pass, whatever that is. Sometimes when people have prayer circles, you know, sometimes within churches, you'll have a group of women or a group of men will turn around and create a prayer circle. And anytime that they find out about someone within the church who has a need, maybe it's healing or finances or relationship, you know, their children, something else, they'll turn around and they'll start that prayer chain is what it's sometimes referred to. And within that prayer chain or within that prayer circle, they'll come together praying about the commonality. Now, where the prayer circle or prayer chain breaks is when people start talking about the issue instead of talking about the answer. When people focus around what's going on or the issue, they break down the faith of the prayer that will bring the answer. Prayer circles or prayer groups are not meant for gossip sessions. Those are meant for sessions where those people come together. It's actually a type of form of intercessory prayer, which we'll be covering tomorrow, but it's a type of intercessory prayer where they're actually coming and interceding on behalf of those people, but as a corporate prayer or group in a united prayer, they're coming together and praying for those people. Other types of united prayer or corporate prayer are when you turn around and you have a church believing for something. Now, an example of that would be if you have a church, and maybe they've outgrown their current facilities, and they're believing God for the new piece of land or for the new building that they can build it so they can reach more people. That's a very common thing within the side of the church or the body of Christ. And so sometimes they'll ask their church members to become involved with praying and believing for that answer to prayer. That would also be a group prayer or united prayer, or sometimes, like I said, referred to as corporate prayer. Other times we see this is within the actual body of Christ. When I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. One of the things that you hear people praying about very strong right now across the nation of the United States is people are praying for revival. It seems like most people I talk to, regardless of the denomination that they're part of, as long as their denomination is focused around God and Jesus Christ as our Savior, they will turn around and they're praying for revival in the nation because the nation is in such turmoil from a moral standpoint. Now, we have some other things going on politically and different things that like that as well, but as a nation, our moral compass has become corrupted or is not working, so to speak, or we're ignoring the moral compass of our nation. So many parts of the body of Christ, or I should say the body of Christ in general, they're believing for a revival to sweep across this nation. As they're praying for that common goal, that would also be considered a united prayer. The other type of united prayer you have is when as a nation we come together in prayer. An example of that, if we went back to 9/11 when we had the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers and the other parts of our country. As a nation, we bonded together during that period and people were flying American flags. I remember driving up to America American flag sticking on his tailgate or, you know, on the bed of his truck going down the highway. It was a pretty awesome sight to see, actually. Everywhere you went, people were saying, God bless you, and people were coming together as a nation, and they were praying for those families, and they were praying for the safety of our nation and the guidance of our president, who was President Bush at the time. When we do that as a nation, that is also a type of united prayer. It shows us in the Bible repeatedly where the nation of Israel also came together in united prayer. I want to go ahead and read you a couple of scriptures right now, and this is one of the places where it talks about united prayer within the Bible. Now, in this particular scripture, this is in the book of Acts, and this is when they received the gifts of the speaking and the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them, but we're going to talk about this because there's a couple key verses that I'm going to read to you. Let's go ahead and turn to it. This is going to be in Acts chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 24. Let's read. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. So as we start in verse 24, there was a report that came out. Peter had just gotten out of jail and stuff, and when he did, they had a certain report that had come to them. And as they did, all the believers together lifted their voice together in unison in prayer. Let's skip down to verse 31, Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So in Acts 4:31, it shows us that before that in verse 24, that they went ahead and they heard a report, and together they came into together in agreement in unison and prayed in unison together. Now, from 24 to verse 31 is actually the prayer that they were praying. I skipped over that, but it was the prayer they were praying. When they did that, in verse 31, it tells us that that prayer was so powerful. That, and it wasn't so much the prayer, it was the unison, the unitedness of that prayer was so powerful that the place literally shook. Just think about that for a second, that if you're in church this Sunday, you know, we're coming up on Easter Sunday, and let's just say that on Resurrection Sunday that you're sitting in church, and together you guys enter into fervent prayer, whether it be for our nation or for your church, but something, and you guys enter into fervent prayer. And as you enter into fervent prayer, that that prayer doesn't have to be long or elaborate, but that there's a unison and there's an agreement in it, there's a oneness in it. And as you guys pray when you're done, the prayer is so strong that the entire place starts shaking. Man, that's got to be an awesome experience, but that goes to show the power of united prayer. You know, it tells us in the Word that one believer walks in the flight of 1,000, but two Christians walk in the flight of 10,000. What happens when we get an entire group of people united in corporate prayer or united prayer? It's a pretty powerful thing. Let's go ahead and skip down to the third verse, and this is going to be out of Acts 32, my apologies. And so it says, so after Acts 31, it talks about that they got together in a meeting place, they prayed together, and the place shook. Now let's go to Acts 4:32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. I'm going to read that again. All the believers were united in heart and mind. So it tells us that the way this prayer worked is that they came together off of a report. In other words, there was something that they heard. They turned around and as believers agreed on what it was they needed to pray about, and they united and lifted in prayer at the same exact time. And as they did that, the prayer was so strong that when they were done, the place shook. And it shook because they had all come into agreement in prayer. The Lord heard them, and the place shook because prayer can shake things up. Praise God. Oh. And it tells us in verse 32 that they were united both in heart and mind. When you're united in both heart and mind, that means both your logic and your thinking, your thoughts, and your heart, your faith are lined up together. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings available to stream 24 hours a day at no charge. In addition, we also invite you to connect with us on our social media. We have our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe to. We also have our Facebook page and Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are encouraging you, then as always, we want to encourage you to share this word with others. Whether you're posting it on your timeline of your social media, sometimes you'll be surprised that you might reach someone that you never would have thought you'd reach, because as they come across the video, there's a headline or something in it that captures their attention based on the need of where they're at that day. Guys, we want to remind you, as always, that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, you would do the 5 minutes?
Yep. Any questions, anybody?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. Not realizing the great, great power of coming together. Like the prayer circles when I was growing up, they had prayer circles or prayer chains on one issue or some issues. They said the building shook, but sometimes we would see the glory cloud because the anointing would be so heavy. And it was just electrifying. And it was just different, very, very different, because everybody was of one mind, one heart, one intention to stay on it, to kept praying till something happened, and it did.
Lord, take us back to them good old days.
Yes. That's a little bit different from All Might Carry, isn't it? I know. It could be either or.
Because All Night, you know what? All Night Tying, that was more of a, like an individual thing. Everybody, you know, like, well, I can only speak for, okay, I was the church that Earl and I came up in, with the Church of God in Christ, and they may have had all night, if you wanted to get saved, you want to get, well, seriously, if they wanted to get saved, believe me, if you wanted the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and then different ones
right,
all over
right.
the place, tarrying for the Holy Ghost, we all have a better understanding there. But that was, I would say, a corporate, I get the understanding of a corporate prayer, just like all of, if all of us were to come together, And we're praying for the building. We're believing God for the building that we're going for. That's all of us with one thought, one mind. The one carrying for the Holy Ghost, they still have one mind too, because they want the Holy Ghost. But it was something personal. They wanted an individual personal thing.
Right. Okay.
I know whenever we had church services, that's what it turned out to be. It was an individual thing. And if you, and the mother said, if y'all want to seek the Lord for the Holy Ghost or infilling the Holy Ghost, something like that. But then I can imagine everybody, you know, on their knees at the altar, because we literally had an altar in the front of our church. And then, but then, when it comes to, and that's where you'll be on the you'll be on your knees and maybe two church mothers or two mothers be on on the side of praying. Oh, pray Jesus, say Jesus. Oh my God, you know, stuff like that. Versus a prayer circle and everybody praying and believing God for one item, for one particular thing.
Neil Reyes.
I think you're right. All Night Carry, they said we're having All Night Carry. So people would come with their different issues and knew they would be there all night to get a breakthrough or, you know, they would be in an atmosphere where prayer would be going on.
And sometimes people be in all over the sanctuary in their little huddles or their knees and stuff like that. But they were
or walking.
Having a prayer, all night prayer today. Oh, my God. It's like I want a bunch of
how many minutes
do we have left?
One more minute.
One more minute. It was 4:20 when we
started. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody?
But it's still needed. Still needed. Well, I know that it is.
But just knowing the power of coming together, that's where the power is.
Yeah.
All hands on deck, I call it.
Oh, yeah. Just like when they were marching around the walls of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
The walls had to come down. but that was that wasn't a figurative wall. That was a literal wall. That was a real wall.
Mm-hmm.
Common that most people sometimes have operated in, but may not understood exactly what it is. And so we're going to go through it. I want to show you some of the things around it and some of the types of intercession that might be laid on your heart. What I will describe to you or discuss with you is that this is a very deep teaching. This is a very broad subject is what I should say. Now, we're going to cover it for the next few minutes, and maybe we'll circle back around to it later. I'm already before the Lord on whether he wants me to circle back around and put it as one of our main sermons on our Champions Walk broadcast, which is our full sermons broadcast. But this is a big subject, and we're going to cover it during the types of prayer, and we're going to give you a quick burst of what it is. That way you understand what a prayer of intercession is and how it operates. The basic thing to know with a prayer of intercession is that a prayer of intercession is basically when you are impressed by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to pray for another person. That can be another individual. It can be a group of people. It can be for a large group of people. It can be for an entity like a church. It can be for a business. It can be for a large entity like a nation. The Lord will impress upon you at times through your spirit, and it almost comes upon you like as if it's a heaviness or if it's a burden. Oftentimes what my wife and I have described to each other as is that we feel as though we're off in the spirit. In fact, I will tell you that over the years in our Christian walk and our marriage together, we both learned to identify when we're feeling impressed in the Holy Spirit to pray for something. And so there's times where maybe it's just me feeling something that just I need to pray about. Other times it's just her feeling something she needs to pray about. But sometimes we come together and there's something that we're both not feeling right about. And so oftentimes I'll come to her. I shouldn't say oftentimes, but at times I will come to her or she'll come to me and we'll ask each other, hey, do you feel a check in the spirit or do you feel off in the spirit? You know, it tells us in the word that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in all truth. It also tells us in Philippians 4:7 that the peace that surpasses or transcends all understanding shall be upon us. And when we're led by peace, we know the Holy Spirit is involved in it. But sometimes we'll start to feel an unease, so to speak, with inside of us. Sometimes if it's very strong, it can come upon us almost like a heavy weight or even sometimes like a burden. In other words, what I mean by that is it's something that you're having to carry that's heavy on you. It's almost burdening you down. And when we do that, we'll often check with each other if we have a check in our spirit. And if we do, we'll come together in prayer, praying in the spirit as far as what it is that's on us. Now, one of the things we're going to go over in tomorrow's teaching is we're going to talk about what praying in the spirit is and how to do it. But I will tell you that praying in the spirit goes hand in hand with the prayer of intercession. Now, that being said, when the Lord impresses upon you to pray about something, sometimes he'll show you outright what it is you need to pray about. But other times you need to enter into fervent prayer, sometimes in the spirit, and as you do that, he'll reveal to you a specific situation, a specific circumstance, or person you need to pray about. But understand that a prayer of intercession is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. He's impressing upon you to intercede in prayer on behalf of another person. Now, yes, sometimes he'll lead you and guide you to pray about a situation that's in your future that maybe you don't know about yet. So intercession can also be for yourself. However, the basic definition of the word interceding means standing on behalf of another. So you are standing on behalf of another, but sometimes he'll lead and guide you to also pray about things within your own future. But why is that? Well, he tells us in Romans 4:17 that he's given us the authority and the ability to call things not as they are, but as they're meant to be. Meaning that with the power of our words, we have the ability to pray and change circumstances. Remember, prayer changes things. I want to read you a quick foundational scripture for the prayer of intercession, and then we're going to get right back into some additional discussion on it. This is going to be out of 1 Timothy, and this is chapter 2. We're going to verses 1 through 4. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. When we talk about intercession, in this verse, it tells us about a couple different types of prayer. It talks about supplications, and then it just says prayers, but then it talks about intercession. But it also talks about praying for kings and those who are in authority, meaning that with the prayer of intercession, you have the ability to change things. The Bible has shown us very simply in the Word that the prayer of one person can change the entire course of a nation. So if things look dark and gloomy today within the world, don't be heavy about that. Just understand, it's a sign of the times, but that you have the ability, you have the authority and the power through prayer to change the course of a nation through prayer. When you're led by the Holy Spirit and you allow His words to flow out of your mouth, you can change things in a mighty way. Guys, one of the other things I want to talk about with the prayer of intercession before we close is that oftentimes one of the most common things that people have when they're growing in intercessory prayer is they'll be asleep, they'll be comfy in their bed, and all of a sudden they wake up or they feel an unease in their spirit. They may get up and go to the restroom in the middle of the night or something, but they feel an unease, or they're led to get up and start praying for someone else and they don't know why that is. That is the Holy Spirit impressing upon you that you need to intercede on behalf of another in prayer. Oftentimes you'll hear stories where people will say, man, it was wild. I was praying for this specific person at the specific time. Maybe it was in the evening or when I was sleeping or during the day. I just felt so impressed to pray for them. And I talked to them a couple days later, and they explained to me that at that exact time, something had happened to them, but that what should have happened didn't. Maybe it was like a massive car wreck right next to them, and they should have been in it, but they weren't. And I was led to pray for them right at that moment. Guys, I'm going to tell you that that's God leading you through the Holy Spirit to pray for someone. But I will tell you that just like we've heard from Terry Seville Foy, and I mention this all the time, that delayed obedience is the same thing as disobedience. Someone's always waiting on the other side of your obedience. When you feel led to pray for someone or something, don't delay, because there's an urgent need with that prayer that needs to be prayed right there and then at that moment. Sometimes you'll be led to pray over something. And I will tell you that as you're led to pray in intercessory prayer, that is also often the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating within you. And when people say the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And specifically, there's two that this can operate and start to grow within you. One is the word of knowledge, and the other is the word of wisdom. Now, we're not teaching about that today, but just so you know, sometimes I've heard people teach that the word of knowledge is when you have vast knowledge about a lot of things. That's not what it is. I've heard other people say that a word of wisdom is when you're wise beyond your years and in different ways. That's not what that is. A word of knowledge is when you have a supernatural word imparted upon you about a past or current situation you could know nothing about without God giving it to you. So it's a word of knowledge about a past or present situation that you could not know about without God directly giving it to you. A word of wisdom is a word about the future that has not occurred yet. And it's something that God directly gives to you, and there's a couple reasons. The first one is because it brings witness to people when it comes to pass. But the second one lines up with Romans 4:17, that we've been given the power and authority to pray over things and call them not as they were, but as they're meant to be. Or not call them not as they are, but as they are meant to be. Guys, when the Lord impresses upon you through intercession, when He gives you an unease or a burden inside you, and He impresses upon you to pray for someone, or someone comes to mind very loudly, in other words, you're there maybe, and it's like almost a thought jumps in your mind or shouts out in your mind about a specific person, you are often being led by the Holy Spirit to start praying for that person and interceding. And for the person out there who's saying, but I don't know how to pray in tongues yet or pray in the Spirit, don't worry about that. We're going to get to it and cover it. But just understand that you don't have to be able to pray in tongues to pray for someone. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth, and He'll show you what to pray and who to pray for. Guys, we thank you for taking time to stop by and grow with us today. As always, we hope you enjoyed our teaching, and we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teaching resources. They're available to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, where we invite you to subscribe to us and share with friends. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page or Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power.
All right. You have 5 minutes before the next teaching. God bless you.
Any questions? Comments? Thoughts?
I don't have a question, but I would. Go ahead. Someone else will see.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I witnessed that with Cynthia. She was doing something, cooking in the kitchen, and the Lord impressed upon her to stop and pray right then and there. She found out that her daughter's car was on fire, and she barely got out. If she had not stopped and prayed, she would have been killed in that car. Car fire. So, this is just awesome to hear how it comes together and moving when God tells you to move.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes.
I shared with the congregation, I think, that many years ago, one sister in the church was awakened, you know, early in the morning, and she couldn't go back to sleep. She kept being awakened, and the Spirit impressed upon her to start praying for her sister. She didn't know why, but she started praying and kept praying, and she prayed in tongues. And then later on during the day, you know, her sister called her and let her know there was a terrible snowstorm. And she's afraid to drive in the snow. And she was on her way to work. And she was very fearful. And she just closed her eyes and drove to work. And she didn't open her eyes again until she was in the parking lot of her job. And at the same time that this other sister was impressed to intercede for her sister, not knowing what the situation was. I have to admit sometimes I didn't move the times past. When I was awakened and someone was on my heart, you know, I did the flesh thing. I wonder why. Maybe it was because they did something to me, blah, 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 blah. You know, I didn't look at it spiritually. But now, of course, I look at stuff spiritually. I start speaking in tongues, and I don't know why I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And sometimes I put something on, but I'm still praying as I go because I don't know why. So that the prayer of intercession is one of those things that you must be sensitive to.
Amen. It just encourages me to have a closer walk with the Lord because we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. He's not coming back down here, but he has to work through us. We have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we have to be so sensitized that when he says go, you just get up and go. You don't ask no questions. You don't even have to know. It may not even make sense to you, but you know you feel an urge, a strong urging in your belly, your spirit, your mind, whatever, to be that close to God that you will go like a soldier in command. And it makes all the difference in the world because prayer does change things.
Amen, yes. How many minutes do we have left, Pastor Peaches?
Oh, 7:35. 7:38.
Two more minutes. Any other comments, anybody?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, and it gave me a better understanding, too, because just a couple of days ago, I was just laying in my bed, and I kept thinking about my niece. She's 7 and a half months pregnant, and she has a little one-year-old. And she went to visit. I mean, I was just laying in bed, and, you know, this vision came to me, and I just started praying. Like I said, I didn't know why I was praying for her, but I just started praying. Well, my sister called me to let me know that they was traveling on their way back from Atlanta to Waldorf, Maryland, and it was raining in Atlanta, and their vehicle slid off the road, and they was on the main intersection. the main intersection, and that car turned all the way over and everything, and she said, thank God there wasn't no tractor trailers or no cars or anything coming, you know? And so by me just listening to this right here, I'm like, yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus, you know? And I have a better understanding when something is heavy on me, you know, how I need to get up and just pray, you know, for whoever God sends me to pray for. So I have a better understanding. So Bible study is really good for me.
Praise God.
And also, when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's terrible. It's disobedience.
Yeah, 5 minutes is up. But sometimes we don't know. But I guess if we get in the habit of, especially if somebody comes across our mind that we don't usually think about, or we are awakened during the night when we usually sleep through the night, and we wake up with somebody on our mind, being in a habit, then to just stop praying. You know, just living a life of prayer. Because, you know, I don't know what was going on, but I pray for this person.
Amen.
Did you say that the time's up?
Yes, sir.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. All right.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called praying in the spirit. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called praying in the spirit. And in fact, as I was before the Lord, you know, right now we're covering the different types of prayer, and we've been covering them over the past couple weeks. And today we're covering praying in the spirit. But as I was before the Lord and was seeking exactly what he wanted me to teach on this subject and how he wanted me to get it across, one of the things he showed me was that we're actually going to take more than one day to cover this particular topic. When we talk about praying in the Spirit, we're specifically talking about praying in tongues. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't have to be directly praying in tongues. It could also be praying in your native language, whatever that is, whether that's English or something else. But most of the time when you're praying in the Spirit, you're actually speaking in tongues. And since this is such a broad subject, or I should say such a big subject that people have so many opinions about, and most opinions are just based on secondhand knowledge that they've heard. In fact, I'll tell you that many churches across America, even the ones that believe in speaking in tongues, don't believe in necessarily practicing and speaking in tongues. Or they're so guarded over allowing tongues to be spoken within their church because they're so concerned about, you know, the interpretations or things of that nature. And so today we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. Now, one of the things I'm going to tell you that we're going to do as well is that next week, starting next week, the Lord has informed me that we're going to go ahead and be picking up a new series, and it's going to be over the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll go over a little bit of that later within this teaching, and we'll touch on that at times within this teaching. But starting next week, we're going to be teaching on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I bring that up is because as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to directly be talking about praying in tongues. We're also going to be talking about the interpretation of tongues, and we're going to be talking about prophecy, which ties those two together, and we'll talk about that next week. Today, I want to talk to you, though, about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is one of the most vital things you can do when you're praying. In fact, in your prayer time, one of the things it tells us is praying unceasingly. When we pray in the Spirit, that is something that we can do at all times. It does not have to be out loud. In fact, I will tell you it's powerful to do it out loud, but you have to be selective about when you do it out loud. What I mean by that is when you pray in tongues, it's not edifying to someone else. In other words, it doesn't build them up. Why? Because they simply don't understand what you're saying. And when they don't understand what you're saying, edification through praying in tongues is meant to build up your spirit. And there's different supporting reasons on why you pray in tongues or different things that come from that. We'll cover that within this mini teaching. But that being said, praying in tongues is something you need to be guarded over doing in front of others because you don't want to throw them off. You don't want to make them go afraid or, you know, go astray or scare them or something. But it's something you can do at any time. And I will tell you that as a believer, you should speak out loud in tongues as often as you can when you're in private or in your home, but you can pray in this at any time. In fact, you can be in a business meeting, you could be, you know, at your work, at your desk, whatever, and you could be praying in the Spirit. Now, some people might say, well, why would I want to do that? Well, stay with us over the next day or two because we're going to cover that. The first thing I want to get into, though, is what praying in tongues is. When you pray in the Spirit, you are directly fellowshipping with God. Now, how do we do that? Well, when you become a believer, and be mindful, no one who is not a believer, in other words, if someone is not saved, if they have not received their salvation, they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will not be able to speak in tongues. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not imitators out there. And that doesn't mean that there's not people out there who can pretend. I remember listening to Jesse Duplantis a while back, and he was talking about a meeting he was at, and he was talking about how they'd come around and lay hands on people. And this is when, you know, before he got saved. And he said he was talking to a guy, and the guy said, man, if they come around here, I'm going to act like I can speak in tongues. And he was saying something silly like, someone stole my Honda. Someone stole my Honda. Someone stole my Honda. And what he was saying was, someone stole my Honda really fast. Someone stole my Honda. But he said over and over, so they thought he was speaking in tongues. It was kind of funny. Anyways, when we're speaking in tongues, what you're basically doing is this. You're allowing the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which God has given to us, to speak directly to the Father through your spirit, man. Now, I might have lost some people there. So like I said, we're going to take our time and break this down. When you're speaking in tongues, you're allowing the Holy Spirit that's inside you to speak through your spirit, man, to the Father. He'll do it in utterances. He'll do it in groanings. Sometimes he'll do it in tongues of men or tongues of angels. But he's speaking directly to the Father through your spirit, man, when you yield to that. Now, why would you do that? Well, it tells us in the Word that the spirit cannot understand the flesh, and the flesh does not understand the spirit. Who is the devil? The devil is not a spirit devil. The devil is a flesh devil. I'm going to say that again. The devil is not a spirit devil. The devil is a flesh devil. And when we're praying in tongues, when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through our spirit to the Father, we're praying about things that the devil does not understand, because spirit does not understand flesh, and flesh does not understand spirit. We're going to take our time and really break this subject down and go over what it means to speak in tongues and why it's beneficial. But what I want to share with you is that as we do this intro teaching to speaking in tongues, we're going to be covering over the next couple of days. And as we do that, we just want to share with you that speaking in tongues is something that is vital to the body of Christ. In fact, I want to read you a scripture where it talks about it. Some people feel that speaking in tongues does not happen anymore. They feel that was something that happened within the Old or New Testament when Jesus was around and right after he left, but that it doesn't happen anymore. I'm going to tell you that that's false. In fact, it tells us that in Romans 8:26. But first, I want to read you another scripture. I want to read you 1 Corinthians 14:2. This is what it says. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So remember, when you speak in tongues, it's so you can speak or pray in the spirit. You're praying directly to God. And when it says you're praying mysteries, it simply means that it may be something that you don't understand what you're praying about, but the Holy Spirit does. And it's something he needs you to pray about so that he can go to work for you. Remember, faith without works is dead. It's one thing to believe in faith, but it's another to operate in faith, because you have a required action of you. You have to operate in faith. And the way you operate in faith is by speaking out God's words. And when we speak out God's words, sometimes that's the direct scripture from the Bible. But other times, that's allowing the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, to pray through our spirit, man, to the Lord. I want to read you one more scripture before we close, and this is out of Romans 8:26. And this is for all the naysayers out there that say that speaking in tongues happened only right after, you know, in the book of Acts, and since then it hasn't happened. Well, in case you don't know, Romans comes after the book of Acts. Let's go to Romans 8:26. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and the reason why this is so important, all the original 12 apostles learned directly from Jesus. But Paul did not learn from Jesus. Paul received his instruction directly from and through the Holy Spirit. That's so important, because it's the same Holy Spirit that led and taught him that is teaching us today through the Word of God. Let's read Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to read that last part again. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Guys, when we pray in the Spirit, we're yielding to the Holy Spirit to speak through our spirit to God. And it's something that's definitely around today. Now, if you don't believe in that, that's okay. I'm not pushing this on you. I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues. But I'm telling you that as a person who believes in God, as a believer, if you're not praying in the Spirit, you're disabling or refusing to use one of your most powerful spiritual weapons you've ever been given. In fact, I will tell you that praying in the Spirit, when you talk about your spiritual arsenal, ranks right up there with the name of Jesus and with the blood of Jesus. It is so important because it is the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit, man, directly to the Father. It's like having a bat phone directly to God. I talk about the bat phone, but back in the old Batman days, you know, they had the bat phone where they'd call Batman when they needed help. And then they went to the spotlight in the sky. You know, it's like having that direct phone that goes to the president, that red phone they show on TV sometimes. This is so much more powerful than that. This is a direct line to go directly to the Father whenever you need to pray about something. Whether you understand what you're praying about or not is irrelevant. It's directly going to the Father and praying about it. Guys, I hope you enjoyed our teaching today. Like I said, stick around with us because over the next couple days, we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. We are just dabbling in it now. But we're going to talk about the importance of praying in the Spirit, what you do with it and why it's important, and we're going to talk about benefits that come directly to it. And when we close our teaching series out, we're going to close it out with how you can receive the gift of praying in the Spirit if you haven't received that already. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teachings 24 hours a day at no cost. You can stream them on there 24 hours a day. In addition, we invite you to check out our YouTube channel where you can subscribe and share with friends. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if someone has a comment from the previous audio, didn't finish because I kind of cut folk off because I want to get all of this in tonight, you can. Pastor Peters, you would five more minutes? Amen.
Yeah.
The scripture he gave was Romans 8:26. And prior to that was 1 Corinthians 14:2, right?
Correct. Also, 1 Corinthians 14:14 is a good one also.
And then Romans 4:17.
Yes, of course, yes, Romans 4:17. Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, here recently, I realized that you highlighted speaking in tongues, and we have been doing it and practicing it. It's good to hear the background of the importance of it and the power that comes with it, and to do it more frequently. And I did learn or hear that Paul was the one that was taught by the Holy Spirit while the other ones weren't.
That's right, because they had Jesus with them on the scene.
Bluetooth pairing.
Bluetooth
connected.
Any questions or other comments?
Yes, yeah, just like you said, that you can change the course of events. That's the truth. And a lot of times, now with us wearing a mask, people, you can be behind that mask and your mouth can be just a going. Ain't nobody got to hear you. When craziness going on around you, you know, and you could be somewhere and some chaos here, break out, or somebody fussing and all, you start praying in the Spirit, and God can change the atmosphere and them people's hearts and everything. It is true. It's just like you're spraying a spray bottle in the air. You're praying and you're. Your prayer is availing much right then, right, an instant thing, instantly.
Amen. Yeah. You know, and I want to just make a comment, too, about the previous audio, too, because, you know, a lot of times we get together and we call ourselves praying, but it really is it's a gossip session, and then we start praying. And that's why you hear me saying, you know, don't describe what the devil is doing. Describe what God has done, is doing, or will do. And that's so important. We need to hit the nail on the head. We don't want to miss our moment to change the course of mighty rivers and bend steel with our bare hands. Yes, we are supermen and women in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And also, I was thinking, keep your handle on not praying sometime out in public because people around you do not understand. And the devil will use that to make them think, well, who you think you are, or make them feel inferior or what have you.
Say that again.
Like if you're speaking in tongues in public, persons around who don't understand that.
Right.
Because I was doing it with a sister, and her husband was standing by, and he was offended because she and I were talking in tongues, and he didn't know, he didn't understand it or anything.
You got to pick your place. Because sometimes you can be open and loud with it. Other times you got to, if it's two individuals and y'all know what's going on, and somebody were offended, I question what that's about. It's more to it than that. But the bottom line is that you got to pick your place. If you feel
that's
the
right.
need to go into your prayer language because something needs prayer, then you can speak it softly, but only you can hear it, or someone right next to you can hear it. But if you feel the unction of the Spirit to go there, I suggest you go there. Don't worry about what other people think or feel. If you feel the unction, because somebody might be driving down the street with the eyes closed because it's a snowstorm or something's about to happen, and they need you to intercede. Don't be reticent about interceding, even with your prayer language. How much time we got?
Wait a minute. 7:57. Oh, we done went over. 7:51.
Oh, my.
We done went over. It was 7:51 and 7:57.
All
right. Praise the Lord. We don't
know about time. Power on.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. If you didn't catch yesterday's teaching, I highly advise you to go back as we gave some really good foundational work as far as what praying in the Spirit is, which is referred to as oftentimes praying in tongues. So if we didn't watch that, I invite you to go back and check that out and then pick us back up on this video. Your learning, I believe, will be increased. Obviously, as you know, if you've been with us, we're right now covering the last couple weeks different types of prayer that are covered in the Bible. In fact, we're covering 9 different types of prayer that we feel the Bible talks about. We list these as main prayers the Bible states in the Bible. And as we're doing that, one of the things that we're covering now is praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is often referred to as praying in tongues. It doesn't always have to be praying in tongues. You can certainly pray in the Spirit in your native language, but usually praying in the Spirit revolves around praying in tongues. And tongues, for a lot of people who don't understand what tongues is simply a prayer language you receive from the Lord that allows you to communicate directly with Him. The reason why people sometimes don't understand it is because there's so many opinions floating around in the world, even within churches, about what it is or isn't. And I will tell you that there's a great lack of understanding within the body of Christ on what tongues is, its effectiveness, and how to use it, and why it's beneficial. Today we're going to cover some of the benefits, not all, it's not an exhaustive list, but today we're going to be covering a list of items that are why speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit is beneficial. These are things I've found true within my own life, and I'm certainly excited to share them with you. You know, it tells us in the Word that the Lord tells us His Word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. When people have a lack of understanding about how God operates, about what His Word says, and about how His Spirit moves, then we're hindered or limited in our knowledge and receiving complete and total victory through Christ. Why? Because if you don't understand all of His Word, if you don't understand how His Spirit moves and you don't understand His character, how are you ever supposed to apply that, walk in confidence with that, and be able to go boldly before the throne in prayer for the things you need answers to or the things you need or the things you desire to be able to help yourself or help others out? I'm going to tell you praying in the Spirit is what I consider to be one of your most valuable weapons within your spiritual arsenal. In fact, for me, I believe that this is such an impactful and powerful gift that's been given to you as a believer. It's your right as a believer that it ranks up there with being able to leverage the name of Jesus than being able to leverage the blood of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit is so important. And as believers, when we know what that is and how to leverage it, it increases our walk. Now, a couple things I want to clarify. Sometimes people think that when they pray in tongues, there always has to be an interpretation, and that's actually not accurate. What we're going to do starting next week is we're going to be covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and those are broken down actually into three groups of three. You have your power gifts, your inspirational or motivational gifts, as they're referred to sometimes, and then you have your revelation gifts. Your inspiration or motivational gifts are actually three different gifts. It's the gift of speaking in tongues, it's the gift of interpreting in tongues, and the gift of prophecy, which ties the two together. And when I say ties the two together, we'll get to that and what that actually means. So stay tuned with us if you really want to learn what this subject is about, because this is so important for you to know as a believer. I want to start off with a little bit of foundational teaching, foundational scriptures, I should say, and then I'm going to go right into the benefits of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. The first thing we want to go into is 1 Corinthians, and this is 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, when we talk about this, when it says about speaking mysteries and that no one understands him, no one understands him unless there's an interpretation. And like I said, we're going to get to that. But we'll get to that next week or in our next series, I should say. But that being said, speaking in tongues or speaking in mysteries means that you may not understand naturally what you're praying about. But praying in tongues is when the Holy Spirit prays through your spirit man directly to the Father. Again, praying in tongues is when you yield to the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. I want to read you another one, and this is out of the book of Romans. There are so many teachings out there of people or faith-driven denominations, and this is not knocking on anybody, but some people just believe that speaking in tongues is not real anymore. It doesn't exist. It only operated during a short period during the books of Acts, which is right after Jesus, you know, right after his resurrection, and the apostles were filled in the upper room with all the other 120 who were there, Gentiles alike and everything, and they started speaking in tongues, and people wondered what was going on with that, okay? What I'm going to tell you is that speaking in tongues, okay, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift. Today we're going to talk about the benefits, okay? Now, one thing I want you to know, sometimes when people hear a tongue, they may not understand it, and they're wondering what language that is. Now, here's something the Lord wanted me to, that he impressed upon me to share with you. When someone speaks in a tongue, they're either in tongues of a man or they're tongues of an angel. And what I mean is they're tongues of man or tongues of angels. If they're tongues of men, that doesn't have to be a current language or dialect that's in this world today. It could be something from the past that doesn't exist anymore or is not in practice anymore. At other times, when it's in the language of an angel, I will tell you that sounds much different. One time I was at a Bible study that I led, and afterwards we got in prayer, and as we did a prayer circle, there was someone who really needed some prayer, so they came to the middle, we laid hands on them and prayed, And as we did, I just encourage everybody, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, start praying now so we can magnify God's presence. It was something I felt impressed to do. So corporately as a group, we started praying in the Spirit. As we did that, one of the things happened, this one lady went off on the tongue, and I'm like, what is that? But we prayed, and we turned around, and we prayed over this person. They received their healing, just so you know. Well, the Lord turned around, and I asked him later, Lord, what was that? I've never heard that before. And he shared with me that what I had witnessed or heard was a tongue of angels. So sometimes when we pray, it's not just in tongues of men, it's in tongues of angels. Let's go ahead and go into what the benefits are. But before I do, let me read to you the scripture out of Romans. The scripture out of Romans is Romans 8:26. This is what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That being said, let's go into the benefits of praying in tongues or speaking in the Spirit. Yesterday we talked about what it is. Today we're talking about some of the benefits, not all of them, but some of the benefits. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift if you don't have it already and how to leverage or use it. Let's go ahead and go into our list. These are the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Direct fellowship with God. It allows you to have direct fellowship with God. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit to God. Praying in the Spirit brings rest, refreshing, and peace. Oftentimes when you turn around and you pray in the Spirit, I will tell you at times when I've been unsettled or uneasy about a situation, maybe I have a strong worry that's trying to come on me, and I cast it, I literally get it and throw it on the Lord, which we talked about that last week, or earlier I should say in this series. When we do that, praying in tongues will often bring you rest, refreshing, but it also brings you peace and calm to your situation. Let's continue reading. Now, in addition to that, we also have personal edification. In other words, this builds us up spiritually. A lot of times people try to use their justification that you shouldn't speak in tongues because it only personally edifies you. But they don't know what edifying means. Edification is the act of building yourself up. But it's not just building yourself up physically. What you're doing is you are building yourself up spiritually. In other words, you're strengthening or growing your spirit man. Let's continue reading. We also have builds up God's presence and the atmosphere we're in. Sometimes when I go in to do a teaching, whether if it's in the past when it was a Bible study or if I was leading a class or if I'm turning around and I'm going in to minister to a large crowd or whatever, you know, if I'm invited to convention, I'll often get there early and go in that atmosphere and start speaking in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit, I should say, to magnify God's atmosphere in that environment so that his works can be done. Let's continue. We also have it elevates or magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. We have the ability to praise in the Spirit, and so this elevates, magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. It also helps to increase our sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. One of the things that people turn around and ask me probably most often is, how can I hear from God better? Well, in order to be led by the Holy Spirit or to hear God's voice better, the more time you spend praying in the Spirit, the more that will increase within your life. It creates a sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. The next one we have is it develops God's anointing and increases its presence. So again, it develops God's anointing within your life, and it increases its presence. In other words, there's times when you spend time praying in the Spirit, that anointing that's on you, it develops it. And as it increases it, you'll get clear understanding of what it is you need to do, what your next steps are, exactly how to grow in that. It builds that anointing on your life. And remember, anointing is when God blesses your abilities or your resources to accomplish his works that he's called for you to do within his within your life. And that brings glory to him. The next one we have is that it also allows us to pray about the future. And then the next one we have is it enables God to arrange deliverance and or protection for us or others. This is one of the most valuable things by praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, it allows us to be able to pray about the future, our future or just the future in general, and it allows us to impact that. It tells us in Romans 4:17 that we have the ability to call things not as they were, but as they're meant to be. It also allows us that when we pray, it enables God to arrange protection or deliverance for us or others. Now, when I say it enables God, sometimes think, well, God's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. God is all-powerful. The question about faith, or not question, but the thing you have to understand is it's not about whether God has the power to do something. as whether he has the authority to. Now, that throws a lot of people off, but here's what I'm going to tell you, or it can throw people off, is what I should say, because based on what they've taught is that God, everything's in God's control. But that's not accurate, and it doesn't line up with God's word. God has the power to do anything. Anything. God has the power to do anything, but it doesn't mean he has the authority to. Why? Because we, as his children, he's given the authority to us through his son, Jesus Christ, and it's up to us to bring those things to pass. Remember, faith without works is dead, and the way you bring something to pass is by speaking it out. It's by using the authority in your spirit through your voice, exercising your faith to call those things that be not as they were, but as they are meant to be. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings. You can stream them 24 hours a day at no cost from there. In addition, we invite you to swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to go by our YouTube channel. We also invite you to go by our Facebook page or our Twitter. And at that point, we're inviting you to connect with these. Get connected, like them, share them, subscribe to them, and then share them with your friends. If these teachings are helping you, it's a good chance they're going to help others as well, and it'll open the doors for you to being able to explain to them things that you've wanted to talk to them or are led to talk to them about. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Yeah, 5 more minutes. Pass the pieces.
Yes, sir. It is. It's 8:11.
Okay, because we can do one more audio. Yeah, go ahead. 5 minutes.
Any questions, anybody? I think it's a long list of benefits.
Yes.
A long list of benefits.
But speaking it out in the atmosphere gives God authority to move in your behalf. Can't think it. You got to say it.
Yep, and that's just like the word. The word was written to be spoken.
He formed the world with his words.
Right.
And we have to give God authority to move on our behalf. He can do anything, but he has to get authority from us.
That's right.
Bluetooth connected.
Because those who are part of the morning worship, you notice that there's a part where I say we give God permission to involve himself in our circumstances. And the reason why is found in Psalms 115, verse 16. Is that he gave authority, and dominion of the earth. He said, earth is the Lord, fullness of that earth. But he says that he's given authority to us. Of course, in Genesis, it talks about that too. We have dominion. So in order for him to get involved, we have to legally, we have to give him permission. Because he needs. Hallelujah.
And the word of God says the power of life and death is in the tongue. It's in
our. Amen.
Any more comments or questions? Or we can start the video audio right away.
Let's get going.
All right.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is praying in the Spirit, and this is part 3 in our teaching. Again, today's topic that we're continuing on is praying in the Spirit, and this is part 3. If you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, you know that we've been covering the different types of prayer. There's 9 different main types of prayer that the Bible covers within the Word, and we've been covering those 9 different prayers and telling you exactly what they are and how they are. And we've been doing that so that when you go before the Lord and you pray, you make sure you're praying in the right manner. And what I mean by that is we've discovered that there are certain rules to prayer or how to pray. That's why sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when people don't get their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying in the correct manner or praying the correct prayer. Other times they are. They're just not standing in faith to believe that it'll happen. There's different reasons why prayers are not answered. But one of the things we're going over is praying in the Spirit. And in praying in the Spirit, we took time to divide this into three different teachings. If this is your first time joining us, we invite you to go back to teaching one and then teaching two. And here's why. In teaching one, I break down exactly what praying in the Spirit is. Basically, praying in the Spirit is referring to praying in tongues. There's a lot of different opinions out there or thoughts on what it is or what it isn't, when it's to be used or how it's to be used and when it's not supposed to be. We really break through all of that, and in a short period, we turn around and we cover exactly what praying in tongues is and why you should do it. In part two, we talk about the benefits of praying in tongues. In other words, we talk about, and yes, there are benefits, there are reasons why you pray in tongues. In fact, very strong reasons why you should, and some very strong benefits of that. That's why the Lord gave that to us. That's a gift from Him. It's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then in today's teaching, we're going to talk to you about how to receive the gift if you haven't received it already. We're going to talk about how to pray in tongues. And if you've already received the ability to pray in tongues, I still invite you to stay tuned because it'll complete the series and add to your learning. But in addition to that, even if you've already received a tongue, there's no reason why you can't receive more than one prayer tongue. I'm going to say that again because some people may not know that. But it is possible for you to have more than one type of prayer tongue. Now, if all you ever have is one, that's okay. This isn't one of those things where when we check on level of believer, it's like if you have more than one, you're the baller of a believer. No, but I will tell you that it's a beautiful thing when you're praying and you hear a different tongue come out. I remember the first time that happened to me, I was like, what was that? And I realized as I was before the Lord that He had blessed me with another tongue. It wasn't something I asked for. It wasn't something I was seeking. It was just something that He blessed me because He loved me. I was in the Spirit with Him praying, and He blessed me with another tongue. So we're going to talk about that today. But as we talk today, I want to also share a couple of stories with you. But before we do, I want to get right into the Word. But as a reminder, I want to remind you that praying in tongues, what praying in tongues is, or praying in the Spirit, that's when you allow the Holy Spirit within you. Now, this is for believers only. If you're unsaved, then we will help you with that. You need to get saved because this is only for saved people. When you are saved, this is when you allow the Holy Spirit in you to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. We're going to say that again. Praying in the Spirit is when you allow the Holy Spirit in you to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. When you do that, you're speaking in things that only the Lord understands. At times He'll give you interpretations of those, whether it be through thoughts in your mind or things that rise up in your heart, but He'll turn around and He's praying about things that He needs to for your benefit. Now, as we talk about this, I want to get right into the Word, and I want to share with you a scripture that we're going to be covering today. Today's scripture that we're going to be covering is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be going through verses 4 through 11. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. This is where it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, sometimes you may hear people refer to these as the manifestation gifts. These are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, stay with us because this week we're also going to be starting a new series where we're going to be covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to break them down to their three categories that they are. We have three different categories. You have the revelation gifts, you have the inspiration or motivational gifts, as they're sometimes called, and then you have the power gifts. We're going to cover what each one of them are, what they look like, what they do, and I believe that that's going to be a true blessing to you because most people, when we teach on this, realize they've already been operating some. They just didn't know what it was. But when they gain the understanding of what it is and where it's at in God's Word, confidence comes with that. And as confidence comes with that, there's a boldness that arises, and people will start to exercise and use those more. And the more they grow in those and the more they're found faithful with those, the more they'll develop. So stay tuned with us this week as we begin to cover that. Today, however, I want to go right into the scripture, and we're going to take you to where it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get to why. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Ready? Let's read. There are diversities of gifts, but the same gift. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profitable. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, as we begin to speak about this, the reason why I read this is because it covers all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to see that diverse types of tongues or different types of tongues is in the Word. And he did say tongues. That's because a couple reasons. One, people may have more than one tongue. But two, everybody has different types of tongues, okay? And as we described before, when the Lord gives you your heavenly tongue, it could be a tongue of man or a tongue of angels. And if it's a tongue of man, it doesn't have to be a current language that's operating in the world today. It could be a language from the past that has not operated, that doesn't operate anymore. It's a dialect that's not spoken anymore, okay? Now, in addition to that, he also states at the very end here that, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. What I'm going to explain to you, and we're going to cover next week, or the rest of this week, or later this week, whenever we start getting the gifts, is that there's nothing you can do to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there are things you can do to prepare or position yourself to receive the gifts. One of the things I will tell you is that in order to receive these gifts, any of these gifts, he's going to give them based on how he wills. But there is one gift out of all nine of the manifestation gifts that I believe is available to every single believer. The other gifts he's going to give as he wills, but there's one gift that he's already willed that everyone should have. The one gift that he has already willed that everyone should have is the ability to speak in tongues or diverse tongues, having the ability to speak in other languages. In other words, it's your heavenly prayer language. Why? Because the Lord desires the Holy Spirit to be able to pray through you directly to the Father so that you can have direct communication or fellowship with him one-on-one. This is shown to us in the Word. Now, that being said, sometimes people say, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, these gifts don't operate anymore. Well, the Holy Spirit's still around, right? In fact, I'm going to tell you that these gifts are going to operate until the second coming of Christ. They started in the upper room in the book of Acts when Peter and John were giving the report after being arrested. The Lord came down on them when they got together and united for corporate prayer, and the place shook, and then they were filled with tongues. And as they were, this gift will continue to operate until the Lord comes back. Why? Because right now we have the Holy Spirit with us because we're separated from the Lord. But when he reunites us and reestablishes his kingdom here on earth, that's when tongues will cease, because at that point we won't need to pray in tongues to speak to him. We'll be able to be directly with him. He has already willed for you to have this. But you're going to have to determine when you go before the Lord, make sure you get your heart right with him. Like I said, there's nothing you can do to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there are things you can do to make sure you're right to receive it with them. As you do that, if there's any unresolved sin within your life, you need to resolve that with him now. Just simply present that to him, ask for forgiveness, and then ask that he comes into your life and floods you with your prayer spirit or with your prayer language, that you might be able to pray in tongues or pray in the spirit to fellowship with him one-on-one. I will also tell you that when you hear people praying in tongues who have done it for some time, it seems like they rattle on entire sentences or paragraphs, or they just go on and on. I will tell you that as you begin to speak in the spirit, it may only start with a couple of words. It may just be ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I mean, it may just be the same words over and over and over. But the more you use it, just like a toddler growing up, how they learn how to speak, they may only start off with one or two words. But the more they speak and the more they're in the presence of others who speak, in other words, the more you're in the Lord's presence, the more that language will develop. I want to share with you how I turn around and receive the Holy Spirit. I remember years and years ago, I was just sharing this with my children the other day. Years and years ago, I was at my in-law's house, and as I was at my in-law's house, I remember asking them how to speak in tongues because I had read about it in the Bible. Well, they had turned around and shared it with me, and as I was on their couch in their living room, I remember going before the Lord and praying, and basically this is what I did. I'm not saying all people should do this, but this worked for me. I turned around and I realized that even though sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, it may not come down on us like fire necessarily. I have talked to people who believe that they're just going to wait for that. You know, it tells us in the Word that faith without works is dead. It also tells us that we must learn to confess or use our mouth. So I realized that I needed to turn around and start opening my mouth and speaking. So sometimes people, when they're ready to receive the gift of praying in the Spirit, they start praying in their natural language. But they're so focused on praying in their natural language or their native language that they don't give any room for the Holy Spirit to work. So what you need to turn around and do is you turn around and you just simply open your mouth. You free your mind of all thought, because you can't be thinking like, is this happening or not? And all you simply do, or this is what I did, I simply went before the Lord and I started moving my mouth. And so I started babbling like a baby. I opened my mouth and I went, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, shigorogono shina shamagana. And just like that, my prayer language came out. Now you just heard my prayer language. You're like, oh, there's a prayer. You got to have an interpretation. That's not necessarily how that works. You know, I'm going to give you an instruction. If you ask someone how to change your oil, well, they may actually have to put a video together or get underneath your car and show you how to change your oil. So when I'm teaching you how to pray in the Spirit, it's okay for me to pray in the Spirit before you so that you understand how to do it. Otherwise, I'm going to say, you got to do this, but not give you an example of it. I'm giving you an example of it. Guys, you need to get outside of your religious mind and the religious framework that you've been taught to think with and start to get into the Spirit. Last story. Recently, just a couple weeks ago, I was at a class that we were teaching, and in this class we were talking about praying a healing and gifts of the Holy Spirit and things of that, and there was a gentleman who had wanted to receive the gift of praying in tongues who had never did it there. Corporately, as a group, we were all praying in the Spirit. So this gentleman goes ahead and he starts to pray, and as he is, other guys are praying with him, and they're really trying to turn around and help him pray in the Spirit, but nothing's happening. So I call him over to the side when they're done, and because I was led to do so, and I said, brother, here's how I learned how to speak in tongues, and here's what I'm going to tell you to do. One, you were over there praying, but I bet you were praying in your native language, in your natural language, correct? And he said, yeah. I said, don't do that. I said, you need to clear your mind and let the Holy Spirit come upon you, but you do need to move your mouth. So just start babbling like a baby. Now, some people may say, oh, that's not the way it works. I'm just telling you how it worked for me, and I see this work for many others. Is this the only way? No, of course not, but this is a way on how to receive it. So I said, you need to just turn on, you know, we had praise and worship music on. So we had praise and worship music on. It was loud, people praying. I said, all I want you to do is just start babbling like a baby. And as you babble like a baby, listen for the way for your voice to change. Don't be focusing on it, but just listen for your voice to change. And if you feel impressed to make a different sound, if you're going ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and you feel impressed to go e-da-ba, and then go ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, e-da-ba-da. E-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba, e-da-ba-da-ba-da. Now, this is what I explained to him. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm saying start off with the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And as you do that, you're going to feel your tongue want to make other syllables or other, you know, inflections. And as it does, that's your prayer language that's coming on you. Once that prayer language comes on you, I'm going to tell you that the more you use it, the more it'll grow. You should stand, once you receive it, don't say, okay, I'm done, I'm walking out. It's not like you order a burger and they call you to the counter and you get your burger and you leave. You turn around and you stay praying in it. E ba 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 e ba 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 e da ba da ba e da ba ba da da ba e da ba da ba inna ba ga na inna hana sha unde ba da we inna sha, and your prayer language will come upon you. Guys, I hope that you have found this series of types of prayer very encouraging to you. I also hope that as we've been teaching on the prayer language, I know today's teaching went longer than normal, but I think it's important too so that we can give you the proper instruction that you need to understand. If you have questions, guys, as always, we want to invite you to go by our website at neilreyes.com. If you click on the Contact Us page, there's a form that you can click on. You can fill it out and send it to us. I will tell you that that form will come directly to me. My staff will make sure that I receive that form directly to me. I can read it, and I can turn around and respond to you or have someone from my staff respond to you if you have questions regarding this. We're here to be able to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. We want to see successful believers in the world, successful in their walk with the Lord, walking in all good things with him. Guys, as always, we want to thank you for stopping by. In addition, we invite you to swing by our social media. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We want to help you to be able to get these teachings to you so they're available to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost, and they're available for you to share media with your friends if you think it's beneficial for them as well. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was any questions, comments? Any comments at all? It's still going to be recorded.
This is the first time I really sort of heard a process to speaking in the tongues. Because I've heard someone say, well, they put us all in the room and told they were going to show us how to speak in tongues. I thought, uh-uh, the Holy Ghost will come down on you and make you speak. I actually heard there's a pattern, but it's also an atmosphere and a frame of mind and spirit that will usher in the tongue.
Amen. Amen.
That's different.
And I was really impressed with all the benefits. And they gave an exhausting list. There are more benefits to speaking in tongues. And I think he used the word leverage, and a lot of people don't understand what that means. That means you actually just use or you lean on something. And the Holy Spirit, the leverage, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the blood of Jesus, or speaking in tongues. In other words, you use it to operate. You use it as a tool, or you lean on it. That's what leverage means, just in case there was some a misunderstanding as to what leverage meant. But I thought this was a fantastic teaching of Neil Reyes.
Yeah.
Any questions, comments, other comments from all the others?
I think it's a teaching that a lot of the churches need. Because I know when we were growing up, it was we're going to pray for the Holy Ghost, and I think a lot of things was done. I don't want to use the word ignorance, but it was done without complete knowledge.
Well, that's ignorance, but ignorance is not necessarily negative. It's really neutral, but a lot of people use it as a negative, but it's not, because we don't, like I said this morning, I don't know all the words in the Bible, you know. I'm ignorant about all of the scriptures in the Bible. I don't know them all. And so ignorance is just not having that knowledge. So we were doing things in ignorance without full knowledge. But thank God, hallelujah. We've grown a little bit since then. We've grown a whole lot since then.
Right, but they told us what they knew.
Yeah, that's it.
It worked. Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
So praise God.
Being naive to certain facts, that's all.
Amen.
When you know better, you do better.
Amen. Right. Oh, that's so good. I like that too. If you know better, you do better. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I thank you.
And then we can teach with, knowledge.
Yes.
Spread it with knowledge of knowing.
And unless the Spirit is impressed upon me to next week, next Tuesday, we're going to go over the diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. That'll be what we'll discuss next week.
Good.
I think it's important for us to really underscore this, because so many of us have not used all of the weapons of our warfare. Some of us would rather pick up a baseball bat and hit somebody, but see, that's not a weapon of our warfare, because our weapons aren't carnal. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So we got to deal with it another way, and God has given us the tools, the weapons of our warfare. And we have to really be fully aware and knowledgeable about.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The word says that he would not have us ignorant.
Yes.
You know?
Amen. That's so true.
So.
Well, we thank God for all of you that joined us. I'm just so sorry that many of the folks that are normally with us did not join us on this momentous occasion. I know that sometimes in the future we'll probably go down this road again, but until that time, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I was waiting for somebody to say hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for the teaching, and we thank you for our teacher par excellence, Neil Reyes, by the Holy Ghost. to reveal God's word and his way and the truth to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done these 3 weeks of teaching on the 9 major types of prayer. We praise your name for this. And we ask, oh God, that you continue to bring it back to our remembrance. So
yes,
we will be able to use the types of prayer correctly. And we thank you, Lord, for just what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and what you're going to do. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. And we thank you, Lord, for every family represented, everyone on this call, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for meeting them at the point of their need and then giving them superabundantly above. And we praise your name and we glorify your name today in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
And meet some of you on next on tomorrow night for our midweek service. God bless you. God loves you. We love you too. Nothing we can do about it.
Amen.
Holy and anointed one, Jesus. You're the risen.
bless you. Have a blessed rest of your evening, everybody. Love you.
You too.
Have a